you say if I told you that some of the most severe critics of evolution are not Christians, not creationists, but leading scholars, non-believing scholars, who say the scientific evidence simply doesn't support evolution? Stay tuned as we'll hear from the leading scientists of our day.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip continues his message, Why I Believe in Creation. Now, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, you can hear it by going to lote.org. That's lote.org, and then by clicking on the Listen Online button there on our homepage. You'll find yesterday's broadcast as well as a host of other previously aired Living on the Edge broadcasts. That's lote.org. Now, with today's message, here's Chip.
I was sitting in a lawn chair at the foothills of the Sierras. I had a good friend up there, and he had a cabin, and invited me to come up and spend a couple, 3 days with him, and there was a ministry opportunity I thought he was going to be excited about. And so in my mind, that's what I'm going to do. It was in August. It was study break time, and Annie and I drove 5 hours to the Sierras, and we ended up looking over this man-made lake, and I was sitting in a lawn chair, and Annie was out in the water having a ball. And I met this fellow's daughter. Now, he came to Christ later in life, so for all practical purposes, his daughter was raised in a non-Christian home. Very bright girl. Graduated from high school at 16, mostly out of boredom. By the time she was 16 and a half, she was at New York City College of the Arts, living in New York by herself in an apartment and breezing through with straight A's. The college scene got bored with New York. She was home for summer break. 17, way ahead of her years, and very, very bright. And so I'm sitting in this lawn chair, and this young gal who's been trained in the classic liberal education of America, much like myself, started in on, do you really believe in God? Which led to, do you honestly believe the Bible is anything more than a man-made book? Which moved to, religion is a mere crutch for the masses. That progressed to, how can anyone, as seemingly as intelligent as you, Chip, really buy a literal Jesus, a literal Bible, and a literal creation, which ended with this statement. It is a scientific fact that evolution is true, that miracles are impossible, and that only non-progressive anti-intellectuals could believe in a Jesus, a Bible, and a God who created it all. To say the least, she got my juices going. And I could identify. I didn't grow up in the church, didn't open a Bible until I was 18. My dad was a science teacher. That conversation launched several hours of discussion over the next 2.5 days. Layer by layer, I questioned her presuppositions. I asked her about her data. I investigated the origin of her facts, and I challenged her to investigate with an open mind the scientific data, the Bible, Jesus, and creation. What I liked about her more than being bright was she was one of the most honest individuals I'd ever been around. And as we begin to really get at the heart of what we started last week with her, see, at the heart, she had grown up in a world where it was intellectually, absolutely irrational to believe in a supernatural, intelligent designer named God who had a son who came to the earth, who lived a perfect life, died upon a cross to pay for the sins of the world, was resurrected, and then lived upon the earth. That belief system that her parents had embraced, she just thought, I'm going to have to throw my brains in the trash can to believe that. Mom and Dad, I respect you, I love you, I just can't buy it. And then we begin to talk. And I begin to ask her, is evolution a scientific fact that has empirically and logically been proven by means of the scientific method? That life really is a product of purely a material universe that came into being by random chance and accident. And then I begin to play out the logical implications of that, that she really hadn't thought much about. And then she had questions. That young girl was on her way to Seattle to start a new life, and she had her dog in the back, and she said, I got halfway there. And all those questions you kept asking me, I didn't have good answers for. And I'll never forget, it was a Saturday night, and I got up, and I can't even remember, I was back teaching in September, and she came and sat on the second row. I said, what are you doing here? I thought you moved. She says, I've got to answer those questions. Why should I spend my whole life doing something else until I know what's true? And she then asked her parents, can I stay in Oakland with you for the next 6 weeks? For 6 weeks, I'm going to take that challenge to come for 6 weeks. And I mean, she asked me for resources and references and books, and she would read them. And then after every service, she'd come and boom, here we go. I want to tell you this morning that we want to look at that same question. What theory best explains our most recent biological discoveries? See, what you need to understand in the scientific community is, man, there is a battle going on, and some of the very best minds are battling and saying, hey, evolution doesn't fly. It doesn't fit the facts. Now, before we look at the evidence for that in the best biological discoveries, Darwin wrote, this is a huge thesis, if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed which could not possibly have formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. Do you hear what he's saying? See, when Darwin started out, he looked into a microscope that could magnify by about 200 or 300 times, and he saw a cell, and in the cell was the nucleus. And the nucleus with a membrane, a little fluid, it looked very, very simple. And so Darwin says, if it could be proven that instead of things going from very, very simple to complex, they had to be complex in the beginning, that it couldn't happen over slight graduation chance plus time, he said, my theory doesn't work. I want to give you now some scientific discoveries that are very, very recent that basically will demonstrate Darwin's theory, in fact, has broken down. The first one is in the area of geology. The Cambrian explosion. There's a significant article in Time magazine you might check out, get on the web, you know, pull up Time, Evolution, Cambrian explosion. Quoting Charles Colson from Time magazine says, the Cambrian explosion, where virtually all the blueprint for animal life burst into being, the appearance of a rich biological diversity within an instant of geological time directly contradicts Darwin's theory of slow, gradual change. Put it in layman terms, they found some geological strata that they say happened, you know, millions and millions and millions of years ago, but inside one strata, they found almost every level of life simultaneously. Big problem. Second evidence, scientific discovery, is in molecular biology, which is the study of molecules and the examination of the contents and the workings inside the cell. Lee Strobel, a teacher out of Chicago, summarizes Beebe's work. He says, evolution used to be a lot easier for many scientists to accept because not too many years ago, they didn't see a big gap between non-living matter and basic living things. Darwin, after all, was looking through a very primitive microscope. All he could see was a rounded mass that was surrounded by a membrane and then a semi-liquid type of fluid. Even 50 years ago, think of this, 1950, in biology textbooks, included the statement that nothing can be seen inside the nucleus of a single-cell organism but clear fluid. Now think of that. Darwin wrote his work 1859. Almost 100 years later, by 1950, our biology textbooks, some of you were kids then, some of you weren't even born then. Our biology textbook said, you can't see anything inside the cell. It's very, very simple. But today, thanks to the more powerful microscopes we have and the research that we've done, we know that the single cell living organism, the most basic kind of life, is incredibly complex. In fact, it is so complicated that supercomputers by our best scientists can't understand it, let alone duplicate it. Now, summarizing Beebe's work, which was in the bestseller Darwin's Black Box, listen now carefully to that nucleus inside a single cell. This is how Beebe describes what's going on. A single cell organisms are actually high-tech factories. They're complete with artificial language and decoding systems. They have central memory banks that store and retrieve impressive amounts of information. They have precise precision control systems that regulate the automatic assembly of the components. They have proofreading and quality control mechanisms that safeguard against errors. They have assembly systems that use principles of prefabrication and modular construction. This is all inside. And a complete replication system is also included in every living cell that allows this organism to duplicate itself with bewildering speed. Friends, Charles Darwin was clearly wrong on this point. A single cell is not simple. It's exceedingly intricate. And the more science discovers about the mind-blowing complexity and organization of a single cell, the more outlandish it seems that non-living chemicals could have accidentally come together to form one living thing. In fact, notice the quote by Michael Beebe from Darwin's Black Box. He writes in summary, "To Darwin, the cell was a black box. Its inner workings were utterly mysterious to him. Now, the black box has been opened up, and we know now how it works. Applying Darwin's test to the ultra-complex world of molecular machinery and cellular systems that have been discovered over the past 40 years, we can say that Darwin's theory has," now he quotes Darwin, "absolutely broken down." Now, do you have to throw your brains in the wastebasket to believe in an intelligent designer, a creator? No. The best non-Christian scientists are saying it's impossible. Listen carefully if you want to know how complex this gets. A simple cell would need a vast number of parts, at least 239 protein molecules, each containing, follow with me, 445 amino acids, all of which are made up of 10 to 20 atoms. Of the hundreds of amino acids, this is all inside one cell now, only 20 are used in proteins, and they simply can't float around randomly. All 445 of them must be lined up in a single file in perfect sequential order for the protein to function. For a single cell to spring to life, 445 amino acids would have to accidentally line up perfectly, not once, but 239 times to form 29 proteins that would make a living cell. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not a math expert, but think of the probability. I read a little example of just the probability of having 10 pennies in your pocket and in red marking 1 through 10 and pulling them out of your pocket in the exact order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as marked. The chances of doing that, just 10, are 1 in 10 billion. Carl Sagan, when he actually looked at the probabilities for the time plus random chance, this is Sagan's estimate. Now, maybe, I don't know where he just pulled it out of the air. Sagan said the probability of evolution occurring, life from non-life, was 10 to the 2 billionth power. Now, to give you some idea on that, probability experts say that anything that's 10 to the 15th power, that's 10 with a 1 and 15 zeros, is virtually impossible. And then Borel's single law of chance, this was a mathematician, he says if anything goes to 10 to the 50th power, it is impossible. See, here, people, we have bought a cell. We have bought some goods that have shaped our century. And we have thought it is intellectual and rational and Darwinism. And what we're going to see in a minute is what Darwinism promotes when you lay that out inside other disciplines, as we have in sociology and psychology and morals and values. And we've come to the point where we've said that intellectual, rational people, well, they're scientists and they believe this. But those irrational, religious people who believe in God, you know what? And there's been, I was one of them. There are thousands, if not millions, of people who've grown up in this century and have bought into Darwin is gospel. And I can't have it both ways. I either believe in God or I throw my brains in the trash can. I want to tell you something. You're living in an age where the best, most current scientific research says Darwinism means, if you believe in Darwinism, you have to throw your brains in the trash can. It does not fly with the best geology we're doing. It does not fly with the best molecular biology and biochemical work that we're doing. And then finally, it doesn't fly with DNA. Dr. Francis Crick won a Nobel Prize for the discovery of DNA. And let me read just briefly some final research, and then we'll kind of loosen up and talk about some other issues. DNA is the part of the cell that contains the genetic code. This is inside each cell. Every living cell, even the most basic, contain DNA. And DNA can have millions, are you ready for that? Millions of component parts, and they are called nucleotides. And they are arranged again in a very specific sequence. DNA is like the software of a cell, sort of like a computer program that makes it all work. DNA orchestrates all the functions of the cell and all the growth, all the replication of the cell with uncanny accuracy. Now we think in our scientific world that we can store lots of information on microfilm, microchips, computer chips. Get this, if the genetic information in DNA of a microscopic single-cell organism were spelled out in English, it would equal to an entire volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica. That's the DNA inside each individual cell. In fact, when you were conceived and when you were literally the size of a dot in your mother's womb, if we could reach in and take the DNA and hold it up in its length, it would be 6 foot long. Today, every single cell in the body contains an entire blueprint. In fact, if you would take the average size teaspoon, a household teaspoon, and you would fill it with DNA to the top, do you know how much information it would contain? Experts guess that you could have all the information estimated to build every single species of organisms that have ever existed on this planet, estimated at 1,000 million, and you contain that in the teaspoon and still have room in the teaspoon for all the information in every book that has ever been written throughout history. These are non-Christian scientists speaking. Now, is that complex or what? In fact, world-class expert on the chemistry of DNA, Dr. Robert Shapiro, who is an evolutionist, was asked, what are the odds of DNA that they could be formed by random process? What's the likelihood? Non-Christian, evolutionist. His answer, none. It is nonsense. In fact, Dr. Francis Crick, who shared that prize for discovering DNA, has said he is convinced that life could not have evolved on this planet from non-life. And he even goes on to say that an honest man, this is a direct quote from him, an honest man armed with all the knowledge available to us now could only state that in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle. Little does he know. So many are the conditions which would have had to been satisfied for it to occur any other way.
Thanks, Chip. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and Chip's talk today, Why I Believe in Creation, is from his popular series, Why I Believe. Why I Believe will help you answer the most pivotal claims of the Christian faith and give you solid answers to tough questions about the Christian faith. You'll learn about the historical evidence supporting the resurrection of Christ, the reliability of the Bible, and the afterlife. In the process, you'll discover that you don't have to throw your brains in the trash can to become a Christian. The series is called Why I Believe, and it's available now for a special on-air discount price. Now, to order, please call toll-free 1-888-333-6003. The 6-part CD series is perfect for personal study or as a small group curriculum for you or your church. Again, the CD series, Why I Believe, is available for a limited time at a special on-air discount price. Call today 1-888-333-6003. 1-888-333-6003. Well, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about a special resource offer from Living on the Edge. And Chip, how can Living on the Edge just give away this valuable resource?
Well, Dave, we've made a faith decision as a ministry. And what we find is issues like creation, evolution, homosexuality, abortion,
Is truth relative or is it absolute? What we found is these are make or break issues in people's lives. And we're living in a world of kind of VH1, MTV, reality shows where we have a whole generation of people that have never heard the basics. And rather than sort of the give to get mentality, you know, we'll give you this booklet if you give us money, we are really stepping out in faith and saying, God, we want to put these kind of resources in the hands of people who want to follow you with all their heart. And in the hands of people that are saying, you know, I don't get it. I mean, everything I hear is different from what the Bible says. So is there logical, reasonable, well-founded answers to some of these deep questions? And we don't want money to be an issue. But it does demand that those people that are kind of on the Living on the Edge team who say, this is ministering to me, that they really stand with us. That, you know, they go to that phone or they go to the website and say, hey, I want to give financially. Because to be very honest, with about a million listeners, we have about 1 or 2% of all the people who listen who actually support financially. And can you imagine if it just got up to 3 or 4%? We want to get these tools in the hands of people so God can open their hearts and minds and change lives.
Well, thanks, Chip. Now, if Living on the Edge is ministering to you, would you prayerfully consider giving a gift to help underwrite the costs of providing life-changing resources, like the booklets Chip just mentioned, to those seeking to know the truth? You can donate online at lote.org. And if you haven't signed up for the Living on the Edge online community yet, why not take a couple of extra minutes and sign up today? It's free, and every month we offer a wide range of helpful resources and tools to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Again, the web address is lote.org. That's lote.org. Now, with some final thoughts from today's message, here's Chip.
Now, I know there are some of you who are listening to this information about creation and evolution, and you're a skeptic. And that's fine. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Let me challenge your thinking. I didn't grow up reading the Bible. My dad was a science teacher. I majored in science. I mean, I know where you're coming from. But let me ask you this. Leading scientists, as we've looked at the research, have said the DNA is way too complex. It couldn't have occurred without a designer. We're looking at the evidence, and evolution is breaking down. And you know what now scientists are saying? They're not saying that, oh, there's a God. The data points to this intricate design. There must be a God. I had a young graduate student come up to me from Japan after one of these messages, whose father is a chairman of the department at a university in Japan in biochemistry. He has given his life to studying origins, and he has an uncle doing the same thing in a university on the West Coast, and he says the big push is away from Darwinism, yes, away from any idea that life could come from non-life, yes, but he says, you know where they're all hinging their hopes now? Asteroids. It must have come from another planet. Now, let me back up, and you just think, fellow skeptic, you know, I've been there, so I'm with you. I used to be the anti-intellectual because I believe in the Bible. I believe in a God who came and raised from the dead, who proved himself and have all this fulfilled prophecy. And now when the data breaks apart, I'm scientific and intellectual to believe it came from an asteroid. And people are saying this with a straight face. I want you to know that is not supported by the data. This is a faith issue. If you're a skeptic, I want you to check this out firsthand. I have a list of resources that we can make available, excellent books by great authors who've done in-depth study, both Christian and non-Christian. You call us, we'll let you know what they are, and you check them out for yourself. God loves you. You owe it to yourself to search out the facts. Fellow skeptic, I've been there, but I need to ask you a very direct question. Is it more logical to believe in the material that you've just heard and the research that we've covered, or that life has come from an asteroid? This isn't about science. It's about faith. What do you really believe and why?
Well, thanks, Chip. Do you have an iPod or MP3 player? Well, if so, why not sign up today for the Living on the Edge podcast? The Living on the Edge podcast is delivered directly to your computer each day, so you can listen at your computer or download it to your MP3 player and take Living on the Edge along with you wherever you go. To sign up, go to lote.org and click on the Listen Online button there on the homepage. Then just follow the simple directions to sign up for the podcast. Just takes a few minutes, and best of all, it's absolutely free. That's lote.org. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Why I Believe. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff at Living on the Edge, this is Dave Drewy saying thank you for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.